just some verses from it. Excuse me, and it's in Isaiah chapter 40, and it's a beautiful chapter. And it starts off with comfort, yes, comfort ye my people. And you have that in Handel's Messiah. And then you have the verses later on in the chapter about the voice of the one crying in the wilderness concerning John the Baptist. And then it says, O Zion, you who bring good tidings, go up into the high mountains, etc. And then it says, his reward is with him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. You know, all of these familiar verses that we sing about. And then also it talks about the greatness of God when he says, who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and measured the heavens with a span and calculated this dust and all of these different things. Behold, the nations are a drop in the bucket. Doesn't it make you feel good when you know that this is the God that we serve? And he says, to whom then will you liken God, or what likeness will you compare to him? Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It's he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers. And it goes on to say other things. And then towards the end, he says this in verse 28. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. If you feel like that this morning, this word is for you. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. And we were singing that chorus just now, Lord, we're waiting here for you. And that word means waiting and expecting, etc., that the Lord will do something. Now, I want to read a completely different verse, and you'll understand why in a minute. And I'm going over to the Apostle Peter. And he says this in his one of his verses, in his second epistle, actually. He says, for this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things. Though you know and are established in the present truth, yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you. So he mentions reminding twice. Knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. Now, when I mentioned this verse to Ken this morning, he said, I hope you're not saying that you're presently going to go to be with the Lord. But what I'm saying is, he says here, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. So, where am I going with this? What's it got to do with Isaiah chapter 40? I have been asked occasionally by one or two people in the fellowship to speak again about something that I first spoke about 40 plus years ago. And I think I've spoken it again about 20 years ago. And so I'm going to speak on it this morning. And bless her heart, Mary's one of those that's always asked me to do this, Josh. So tell her, she'll have to listen on the website. And it's that verse in Isaiah 40, 31. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew or exchange their strength, and they shall mount up with wings like eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk on and not faint. And I want to share some thoughts this morning about the eagle. The Lord uses many illustrations, many different animals, etc., to represent truth in the scriptures. And the eagle is one of them. And there's a lot of things, spiritual lessons, we can actually learn from the eagle. We are waiting on the Lord. And the Lord says that we shall mount up with wings like eagles. We shall run and not be weary. and we shall walk and not faint. And this isn't the only time that the Lord mentions eagles and eagles' wings. He mentions the eagles' wings when he's talking at Sinai through Moses to the people, and he's reminding them, he's just brought them out of Egypt, and he says to them, "You have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself." And this is about 3 months after he's done this, and he's using the description of the eagle and its wings. And it's interesting, the eagle does not carry anything on its back. It carries with its talons, doesn't it? The only thing it carries on its back at times is its young, at certain times when it's teaching them just to fly, etc. So we can take this, whether he's talking about obviously carrying them on his back, but the eagle also carries things, the burdens and things with its talons. And it's the strength of the wings, actually, that enable the eagle to carry big loads. Any of you have seen nature films about the eagle? It's amazing what it can pick up, the strength of this bird carrying these creatures and these animals. And what the Lord is doing here, excuse me, is showing the Israelites his strength and his majesty and how easy it was for him to deliver them and to carry them and to carry on carrying them into the promised land. And in this verse, he's saying that he's going to exchange his strength, his majesty, for us, to us. And our weakness is going to be made strong, spiritually speaking, that we're able to carry the burdens that are laid upon us, and not only our burdens, but other people's burdens as well. It's not a self thing he's talking about here. Because in Galatians it says, "Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." That's what it means to be part of a fellowship, doesn't it? To be part of a body here. But he also says, "For each one shall bear his own load." And he's not talking about grinning and bearing it. He's talking about lifting it, carrying it, helping each other to bear our burdens. But we can only do this in our own lives and in the life of the fellowship with brothers and sisters when we rely completely on the Lord and his strength and his grace. Because Jesus said, "Without me, you can do nothing." So we can only help each other when we're strong enough ourselves to be able to bear these burdens. And we can only do it when we have learned to mount up on eagle's wings. And he's giving the illustration of spiritual heights and spiritual in going into the presence of the Lord. And it's interesting as well, the Lord says in one verse in Exodus, in that verse, he says, "I bore you on eagle's wings." Why? Not just to bring them to the land of promise. He said, "I did that and I brought you to myself. I brought you to myself." And in Isaiah 40:31, the Amplified puts it this way: "Those who wait for the Lord, who expect or look for and hope in him, shall change and renew their strength and power. They shall lift their wings and mount up close to God, as eagles mount up to the sun. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint or become tired." You see, our desire has got first and foremost to be to the Lord. And as we come closer to the Lord and we walk in that realm of God, in the heavenly realm, then we're able to bear those burdens. And there's that chorus, I was thinking about it this morning. We say, "Lord, I come to you." Remember, "Lord, I come to you. Fold me close. And as I wait, I'll rise up like the eagles, and I will soar with you because your spirit leads me on in the power of your love." And I just want to take some of these illustrations from the eagle this morning. It's interesting. Notice the order in what he says. He says, "You're going to mount up with wings, you're going to run, and you're going to walk." And it seems at first sight that you think about that, if you turn it round the other way, have you ever noticed that some birds actually walk before they fly? There are some birds, especially the ones on water, you see them starting off and they're sort of getting momentum up and they're running across like that and suddenly they soar up. And it's interesting that ever since people have seen that and wanted to fly, when you look at some of these inventions over years and centuries, etc., when people have tried, they've tried to do that, make wings, and they've started off running or walking, and then got a pace up to see if they could fly. Well, we know it's been disastrous until they found out they could do it. And what happens to a plane? Where does it start? On the runway. It starts from a standing position on the runway and then it soars up into the heavenlies, as it were. If we'd wanted to illustrate the Christian life and the walk and the strength of God, we would have put it in the reverse order. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall walk and not faint. Then they shall run and not be weary. And then they shall mount up with wings as eagles. But that isn't the way the Lord put it. The prophets began with the flying and they ended with the walking. Where are we seated? In heavenly places. In Ephesians it says, you have been raised up. He's raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's where we have to start from. What happens then in our spiritual walk? When we're in the heavenlies, we are then set on a course to be able to run the race. Therefore, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, we know it, the verse so easily. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. We're not going to be able to run that race unless we know what it is to be seated in heavenly places in Christ. And be in that realm of the heavenlies. We cannot do it in our own strength. And then, when we've done that, and we're running that course, that race, then we're in a good place to be able to walk the walk. Therefore, you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. You see the difference? Spiritual things first, then the rest takes their place. The Lord said to Job, when Job had been making a few things, he's saying things he shouldn't have said, and the Lord comes, he never answers him the question why he'd been suffering, but he gives him a nature study, doesn't he? A really wonderful nature study about the greatness of his creation, etc. And one of the things he says to Job, he says, Job, does the eagle mount up at your command and make its nest on high? The instinct that God, that the eagle has to fly up and make its nest on high, has been put there by God himself. And that's why the eagle does it. That's why all of these creatures do what they do. And he's put within us an instinct, a desire actually, to not stay earthbound, but to actually rise in spiritual areas and realms, that we might become strong in him. God has put that instinct in every Christian. Whether we respond to it or not, whether we desire to do that or not, is up to each one of us. An eagle could stay on the ground if it wanted to, but that instinct is there. That's why in the Song of Solomon it says, my beloved spoke and said to me, rise up, my love, and come away. The Lord gives the idea of the way that the eagles fly, because when he talks about riches, he says riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away like an eagle towards heaven. So you see the emphasis in the scriptures about the eagle flying up high. And that one other thing that it's talked to us about the eagle, it's also swift and it's also strong. And the Lord says, the Lord will bring a nation against you. He says this to the Israelites if they backslide. From the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flies. Now, I don't know whether I've actually ever seen an eagle as such fly. I've seen them, I have actually. I can remember in Singapore they had some in the bird sanctuary, etc. there. But not in the natural seen the hawks or whatever it is that flutter, but I've never seen an eagle. But again, when David was mourning the death of Saul and Solomon and Jonathan, and he said that though they were beloved, and he said they were not divided in their death, they were swifter than eagles. So he's using this metaphor, simile of the eagle with swiftness and strength in the flying. So in Proverbs it says that there are four things that are too wonderful to understand. And the first thing that Solomon mentions is the way of an eagle in the air. And I just want to just take a few thoughts from the way of the eagle in the air. The eagle is one of the most majestic and beautiful birds. I don't like what it does to poor little innocent creatures, but there's no doubt about it that it is beautiful and it is majestic. And it sails and soars directly into the eye of the sun. That's where it's going for its sense, its source of life, its source of warmth, its source of strength. That's why in Colossians it says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. That is a command. Set your mind on things above, because again, that's where we're seated in the heavenly realm. And the eagle goes up in circles, and it flies. As it gets higher, it flies very fast, and then it gets to the place where when you watch it, you can hardly see its wings moving. It almost seems to be sort of gliding in a way without even flapping its wings. And I read something that one man said, who was obviously knew more about them. It says, it rejoices, and I want you to apply this spiritually to you in your Christian experience. It rejoices in the strength of flight and the security and the freedom of the upper air, where it can soar above the storms. We sing a chorus, don't we? And it's got the words in, I will soar with you above the storm. Are you rejoicing in your strength of flight? Are you soaring above the storms? Am I doing that in the different situations we come across? And in the storm, to us, a storm is devastating. We've seen much of that, haven't we, in all across the world. But the eagle doesn't bother it at all. Doesn't bother it at all. In actual fact, it does better when there's a storm than when there isn't one. And the benefits of the storm and the turbulent wings causes the eagle actually to fly higher. And it reaches heights above the normal. There's a tremendous lifting power, isn't there, in the thermal updrafts of turbulent winds. You've only got to see what a hurricane does or a tornado does. It can even lift up cars and different things like that. And these updrafts cause the eagle actually to reach heights, and he soars on the winds. And when he gets up there, as I mentioned before, it seems as if his wings aren't flapping. And they can look as if they're hanging in the air, as if they're frozen. And they can do it for long periods. Apply that to our situations and circumstances. How many times are we actually struggling and flapping our wings and trying to fight against the storms? And actually, in fact, to come in the peace of God and just to be there, just hanging there and enjoying it. And what happens then is that it can look down from its place in the heavens with peace and above every earthly thing that's going on underneath. And because of that, when it's soaring above a storm, it gives the eagle a larger view of everything. And those of you that have flown know exactly what I'm talking about here. The higher the eagle flies, the larger will be its perspective of what it sees underneath him. And he can see much more than he can when he's on the earth, on the lower ground. And when we live on lower ground, we've got a very narrow outlook. And when we don't soar above situations and circumstances, we take a very narrow and small view of things, because that's all we can see. And we need wings, brothers and sisters, spiritual wings, to give us a broader view of what God is doing and what we're seeing. And the higher you go, the greater will be the area which you will see. And when we go on a plane, you know that when you're on the plane, all you can see is everything around you. But once that plane has taken off and you are soaring, the higher it gets, the more you see. And some of the things that when you were on the ground and you saw that seemed big and large, now they look like nothing. A mountain looks like nothing when you're flying above it, when I say in comparison to what it looked like. That's why we've got to look at things in God's perspective. We've got to soar on eagle's wings. And the other thing is, when we're on the ground, it's all about us. It's all about me. It's all about my little life. All about my problems. When we soar on eagle's wings, we see other people's problems. We have to see other people's situations, and we're able to pray and do things that will help. Look not every man on his own things, but on the things of others. And we see things, even our present situations, and we see them. Like when you're flying in a plane, on the ground, you can only see so far ahead, can't you? But in a plane, or if you were in a hot air balloon or anything like that, you can see a lot further ahead. And that's the same in the spiritual realm. And the Apostle Paul says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. He says, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. If only we took that perspective and we were on eagle's wings. But it also, when the eagle's up there, it gives him more freedom and safety. Any bird on the ground is subject to prey, isn't it? The cats. It's amazing when you drive up the road, it's the pigeons that are so dumb, they don't even get out of the way of the car, do they? They're not able to see these things, but on the wing, you can't get it. You can't reach it. And what it does with the eagle, it lifts the eagle above all the harassment. Apparently, eagles can be attacked by other birds if they're anywhere near their nests, etc., the crows and the different ones. And there can be attacks going on, but the eagle gets higher than all of that, and they can't reach him anymore. And that's how we should be. And it soars behind, and it leaves all of these other distractions behind them. And it lives habitually up there in that place where it's free and in every way. And spiritually speaking, when we're close to the Lord, when we're flying high, if I put it that way, these other things don't distract us, do they? They don't affect us. So what's the next thing? That was the third thing. The turbulent winds that it's on, the updraft, it allows the eagle actually to use less effort and not more. It has to flap the wings to get up there, but once it's there, because the feathers of the eagle, which is, and I'm obviously been looking at these different things, the feather structure of the eagle, and I suppose other birds as well, but it's particularly the eagle, it prevents it from stalling. And how many times have you stalled? How many times have you flown and then suddenly fallen down again? It stops it from stalling. And it's much harder to get going again, isn't it, when you've stalled. But it reduces the turbulence, these feathers, and it produces a relatively smooth ride with minimum effort. Oh, to live like the eagle in these particular way. How much we put effort in, and think just, and the Lord says, please be at peace. My peace I leave with you, etc. It allows the eagle to stay up longer, and it uses the winds, as I said, to soar and glide for long periods, so it can stay up longer. And it also helps the eagle to fly faster. Normally, the eagle flies apparently about 50 miles an hour. But when it glides in the wind currents and the turbulent ones, it can reach 80 to 100 miles an hour. I want the wings of 80 to 100 miles an hour. But that's that part of the eagle. But what about the other characteristics of the eagle? Do you know, an eagle never flocks. It's a solitary bird. It doesn't go in flocks. You don't see flocks of eagles. You see an eagle. It's a solitary bird. And we're exhorted to assemble together. We know that. But at the end of the day, I live my Christian life, you live your Christian life. We are individuals. And the Lord made that very clear, actually, to the Israelites. He said, listen to me, you who follow after righteousness, you who seek the Lord, look unto Abraham your father and to Sarah who bore you, for I called him alone. And he dealt with Abraham on his own. He also dealt with Sarah on her own. He's dealing with you on your own. He's dealing with me on my own. Even though we're part of a body, he calls us alone. We are individual eagles. And our responsibility and our walk with the Lord is not anything to do with anybody else. It's to do with us. And we have to develop that relationship with the Lord ourselves. And the other thing an eagle does, it always selects the tallest trees in the forest or the highest crags in the mountains. Jeremiah, we find the Lord says, oh, you who dwell in the clefts of the rock, who hold the height of the hill, though you make your nest as high as the eagle. And Obadiah says, though you ascend as high as the eagle and though you set your nest among the stars. We're talking about height here. And the Lord is giving us this illustration. How high do I want to go? How high, how close to the Lord do I actually want to get? Am I content to scratch around? Am I intent to go middle way up? And it's nice, there's some lovely trees and some lovely birds, but the Lord doesn't give that illustration. He talks about the eagle. And the eagle is the one that gets to the high places. And we know that in Habakkuk, he says, the Lord is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on my high hills. The other thing the eagle is faithful to its mate. And we are betrothed to our beloved. We are betrothed to the Lord. We are the bride of Christ. And the thing about the eagle is they stay faithful all year round until death takes one of them. Faithfulness is one of the strongest qualities of the eagle. They are home-loving birds. And they stay in the same place, except if there's a failure for food and they have to migrate somewhere else. But they stay in the same place. They keep the same nest, apparently, from year to year. They build the first one, and that is the foundation for all their future nests. Now, I'm not saying by that you don't move from one place to the other, etc. But when you have a foundation in the Lord, you build on that foundation. And everything else, as a fellowship, as an individual, if we don't build our foundation properly, then our nests are not going to last. But we have built on the foundation in our own fellowship here, on the word, on prayer, on worship and holiness, etc., etc. And we have to continue building on that. Whatever the Lord does with us as a fellowship, wherever he takes us as a fellowship, we have to build on the foundations that the Lord has already laid in our hearts. But this is the one that blesses me, I suppose, the most about the eagle. And it's the education of its young. The eagle spends more care than any other bird on educating its young on how to survive. Because the eagle's life is going to be longer than the normal bird's life. They live a long time. And brothers and sisters, we have been born again and we have eternal life. And there's going to be a time when we will meet the Lord and we will be in eternity. We're not building for time. We're not learning for time. We're growing for eternity. That's why the eagle's learning, the eagle's education is more complex and it takes longer. One man, a young man, asked an old man in the States, always remember this, he was the father of the pastor there, and he was in his 90s, and this young man came, he was very enthusiastic, and he said to this man, he said, brother, Can you give me a crash course in Christian maturity? Quick course. So the man turned around and he said, well, he said, it depends on what you want to be, a tree or a cabbage. I think he got the message. It takes a long time. But what the eagle does, it makes its nest, and it makes its nest with thorns. And over the thorns, they get very soft things like the feathers of other birds or their bits of wool and things like that, and it covers the nest. So it's nice and comfortable for the eggs. So it lays its eggs, and then when the eggs are hatched, the little eagles, they're nice and comfortable in the nest, and that's where they stay for a period of time. And at first, the eagles come, the mum and dad come, and they drop the food into the eagles' mouths, and we can imagine the picture of it. And then it gets to the stage where the parents say, no, now you've got to start learning. So what they do is they bring whatever it is they've caught, and with their beaks and their talons, they begin to tear it into pieces. And they then begin to give the eagle, the little eagles, this food. And the eagles are watching them and showing them how to do it. But the little eagles, they're called eaglets, aren't they? Or whatever they're called. Anyway, the little eagles. And the little eagles are watching this. And they're probably thinking to themselves, hang on a minute, you're taking a long time doing this. Why are you not giving me my food now? And it has to learn that their time of being fed on their own or all the time is nearly over. Are you listening to the spiritual truth in this? Then what happens? The parents then bring the whole creature and they stand back and they just let the little birds have a go themselves, and they have to start scratching themselves. And they don't like it at first, and they wait for the parents to help them, but they don't. They stand back and let the little eagles, you know, do it for themselves. That's a lesson in spiritual growth, isn't it? When we become Christians, we drink the milk, and we love drinking the milk. And depending on how hungry you are, you drink more of it. But there comes a time when you have to start doing it yourself. There comes a time when you get taught how to do it. And if you're eager to learn, somebody will come alongside you and teach you how to read the Bible, teach you how to study the Bible, and they will help you do it, and they will be there. And that's what pastors, teachers, etc. are for. But there comes a time then when you can't keep doing that to somebody. They've got to learn to do it themselves. And I can remember going back when we were, your memory goes back. Do you remember those of you that were here when they started introducing little cassettes? So we used to record the services like we do on the internet, and everybody bought a cassette machine. And we used to have a library of cassettes, and everybody would then take the cassettes and go home and listen to it again and think some more. And then we began to go, and everybody bought a Strong's Concordance. We even ordered some for the church, and we all had them. Do you remember? So we were all looking up the Strong's Concordances. And it went on like that, because learning to study yourself, and people can do that. Now you've got all manner of things that you can use on the internet and different other things. But they had to learn to feed themselves, and they had to learn to grasp food with their talons. They had to exercise every day. They was getting stronger. They had to learn how to use their wings so that they could fly. And spiritual truths have got to be taught, and they've got to be worked out in our lives individually. And then the parents decide that it's time that the little eagles, the poor little eagles now are sitting comfortably in their little nests with all their little wool all around them. And how are the parents going to get them out? So the parents stir up the nests. So what does that mean? Stir up the nest to cause the eagles to fly. There's too much security with no responsibility, and that gets us nowhere. So the parents, with their long beaks and their talons, begin to scratch away the wool and the soft things away from the thorns. So what have the little eagles got to rest on? On thorns. It's not very comfortable. So what do they do? They think, I don't want to stay here, but I don't want to fly either. One man said this, the eagle is a kind old bird and puts his wings under the wings of the youngsters and helps them to fly. And you know, sometimes older Christians can feel a bit like that. And you want to help the youngsters to fly, but you've got to do it. And sometimes you have to be a little bit harder and firmer to make them and encourage them. That's why it says in Deuteronomy, as an eagle stirs up its nest, hovers over its young, spreading out its wings, taking them up and carrying them on its wings. So first of all, it gives them a feeling of flying. And then it encourages them to fly themselves. And they'll have a go, some of them more tentatively than others. And if they begin to fall and not make it, the bird comes underneath and carries them on their wings back to the nest. You know, God is like that with us, isn't he? He does that to us. But some of them can sometimes tumble back into the nest and they don't want to bother to try again. So what the parents do then is withhold the food from them. And they go outside of the nest and then they fly with a little bit of food. And if you want it, come and get it. And the Lord's like that with us, isn't he? There's a time we have to take responsibility, not only in our individual lives, but in the fellowship. And we all can't sit back and be fed, and be fed, and be fed, and be fed. There's responsibilities that all of us have. We're not all going to be teachers, preachers, or anything. But there comes a time, and we're talking, hopefully, if what we're hoping for takes place, there's going to be some work to be done. There's going to be some responsibility. There's going to be some things that the Lord has in future for us. So that's nearly the end of the eagle. Except the eagle does get old. He does get old. We do get old. But a characteristic of the eagle is their plumage is regularly renewed to enable them to renew their ability to continue to reach the heights. In other words, they are revived and they reach the heights. Psalm 103, verse 5, he satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. I like one translation. The one who fills your life with blessings so that you become young again, like an eagle. Brothers and sisters of our generation, we are becoming young again, like the eagle. And the psalmist says, they will still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless us. Lord, we thank you for your example of the eagle. We thank you most of all that it represents you and your love and your concern for each one of us. But Lord, we don't want to just rest on your wings. We want to fly like the eagle. We want to know what it is to soar in the heavenlies. We want to know what it is to come to you. We want to know what it is to know that reviving in our own hearts. We want our feathers to be renewed again, Lord. We want to soar on eagle's wings. So Lord, I just pray, I just present us all, Lord, the fellowship here. Do a new thing in every one of us. You have something ahead for us, Lord, and we want to be strong. We want to be those eagles that can fly high above the situations and circumstances, that bear not only our own burdens, but the burdens of others, that you would make us useful for your glory. So we thank you, Lord. Amen.